This morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. That's the longest chapter in the book of Psalms. Psalms, chapter 119. And I'll give you just a moment to turn over there. We're going to read 8 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 119. Let's read beginning in verse number 41 down through verse number 48. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 119, verse number 41. The Bible says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we come today, we just thank you for the pretty day, the Lord, weather not being any worse than it has been, we've just got a lot to be thankful for. And as we come today, I just ask, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God. I pray for thy help spiritually, mentally, physically. Lord, just help us as we gather to worship thee and to look into the Word of God. We pray for the liberty that the Holy Spirit gives in the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God would have free course, that it would just not be hindered in any way whatsoever. I pray you would speak to our hearts. I pray for anybody here that's lost, that, Lord, you'd convict them, show them their great need of salvation. Help us as thy people, that we might be instructed from the Word of God, that we might be the testimony and witness that you would have us to be in this day and time in which we live. Help us as thy people, as a church, as families, as individuals, Lord, that we would live our lives for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray for your help right now. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, Psalms 119. It's got 176 verses in it. Longest chapter, I believe, in the whole Bible. And it's divided, if we were to take time to study it out, it's really a interesting chapter in the Bible. It's unique. There's no other chapter in the Bible like Psalms 119. It's divided into 22 different sections. Each section corresponds to a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 8 verses and then 8 more and 8 more. Sort of like if we lined up an outline and did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and had 8 verses for each one. That's how it is here. But there's only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So each section is divided up into 8 verses. It's very interesting to study out. Most of them refer to the Word of God in some way. For example, if you just go back to verse number 1, in verse number 1, he said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law." And in verse number 2, it said, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." The law, the testimonies, each verse has something to do with the Word of God. Verse number 3, the last part, it said, "They walk in his ways." That's the Word of God. Verse 4 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts." That's referring to the Word of God. Verse 5, "To keep thy statutes." Verse 6, "Unto all thy commandments," and on it goes. And these different words used to describe the Word of God. There's 10 of them, 10 different words in all: truth, ordinances, different words used to describe. So it's a very interesting passage of Scripture to study out. What I want to begin with today is read verse number 45, just to get started. We'll get our title from verse number 45. It says, "And I will walk at liberty." That's what I want to try to preach on today. "I will walk at liberty." That's my title. "For I seek thy precepts." Somebody asked George Whitfield one time. He was a great revivalist in the mid-1700s in this country and went all up and down the East Coast, preached in all every colony at that time. And he was the most well-known name in America. We might say America's first celebrity, that everybody knew the name of George Whitfield. And somebody asked him one time, they said, "Mr. Whitfield, why do you preach so much on the subject, ye must be born again?" And he replied and he said, "Because ye must be born again." That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? That's something we need to preach on quite a bit. And I feel that way about liberty. If you study liberty in the Word of God, liberty is a fundamental. That means it's basic. It's something that is essential. It's something that is a must. Liberty is a Bible doctrine. Now, a doctrine, the word doctrine, a lot of people get tore up about that. And some people, they don't understand what they're saying when they say it, but they'll say things like, "Well, I don't like doctrine." Well, doctrine is just teaching. It's learning. It's understanding. It's what the Word of God teaches us. And liberty is a Bible doctrine. You find it in the Old Testament. You find it in the New Testament. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, James, the Apostle Peter, all of these and many others were preachers of liberty. If you study out the messages that they preached, they all preached on the subject of liberty. And I was thinking about this yesterday. Sometimes maybe people think that my record is stuck on liberty. And if it is, well, I think that'd be a good thing to be stuck on. If I die, I would just be satisfied, just put something about liberty on my tombstone. If you had to be known for something, and if I was known that I loved and preached the doctrine of liberty, well, I think that'd be a good thing to be remembered for. And I want us to notice some things today from the Word of God, from this passage of Scripture about liberty. And my prayer is that you will be a lover of liberty and that you will appreciate what the Bible teaches us about liberty. Now, the psalmist here, and most everybody agrees or believes that David wrote Psalms 119, but it doesn't say a psalm of David, so we'll just say the psalmist here. He said in verse number 45, "And I will walk at liberty." I will walk at liberty. And I want to say, first of all, it's just four things I'm going to try to point out today. First of all, there is the paradox of liberty. Now, I used that word in my message last week, and I've studied a little bit more about that this week. And well, there's a lot of paradoxes in Scripture. And a paradox, and I'm not preaching the same thing, but just using that word again, but a paradox is a seemingly contradictory statement. That's what a paradox is, a seemingly contradictory statement. Now, he said in verse number 44, I'll show you the paradox of liberty. He said in verse 44, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." He said, "I'll keep thy law continually forever and ever." And verse number 47, verse 47, he said, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." And in verse number 48, he said, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Now, here is a man that is surrounded by the law. He said in verse number 44 that he wanted to keep thy law. We realize the law is talking about the Old Testament law. He said, I want to keep thy law forever and ever. And then in verse number 47, verse number 48, he's talking about the commandments of the Lord. And he said, I delight in the commandments of God. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. So here's a man that loves the law of God. And his heart's desire is to keep the law of God. Yet, he says in verse number 45, he said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now, there's something you gotta understand about liberty and the law. There's a paradox there, because the law of God is not liberating. Did you know that? The law of God does not set a person free. And the law of God has never set anybody free, because you're not saved and set at liberty by keeping the law of God. We know that this morning. The law of God does not save. It is not liberating. It is very confining. It is very constrictive, the law of God. If we were under the law of God, we couldn't just meet here and worship like we have today. We'd have to come see the high priest. We'd have to bring a sacrifice. Worship in the Old Testament was a lot different than in the New Testament age of grace or the dispensation of the church. But the law is very confining. Paul said, and he talked a lot about the paradox between the law and liberty in his writings. And he said in the book of Colossians, we studied that last year. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 21, he sort of sums it up. The law, if you could summarize what the law says, is touch not, taste not, handle not. That's the law. Bear not touch that. Bear not taste that. Bear not handle that. That's what the law is. It is called the Ten Commandments for a reason. Commandments of God. Some people think it's the 10 suggestions, but it's not. It's 10 commandments. That's what God says to do. It is the law we're talking about. So, isn't it interesting that he talks about loving the law and keeping the law, but he says, and I will walk at liberty. Now, we need to understand something this morning. The law is not a bad thing. The law is a good thing. Paul told Timothy over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17, he said, for I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So the law is not a bad thing. And the real attitude that a child of God should have towards the law of God, we should not be anti-law. We should not be against the law of God. We should not be hateful towards the law of God. Keep your place here. Look in the book of Galatians. I want to show you what our proper attitude towards the law ought to be. The book of Galatians, that's after 2 Corinthians. And chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. Now don't lose your place in Psalms 19. But the book of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. This describes for us what our attitude towards the law ought to be. Now Paul knew he was brought up under the law. He lived a lot of his life trying to keep the law, which by the way, no man can do. The law is a schoolmaster, Paul says, to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't keep the law. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Paid the price for our sins so that you and I can be saved. And when we're saved, we have this wonderful thing called liberty comes into our lives by the grace of God. And Paul said in Galatians 5 and 1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And if you study that out, that yoke of bondage, he was talking about putting ourselves back under the law of God. Our attitude towards the law ought to be this. It ought to be, I'm free, praise God, I'm free. A lot of people try to be saved by keeping the law, by obeying this and that, joining the church, being a good person, doing all the right things, avoiding all the wrong things. But the law teaches us that no man is perfect, because you'd have to be perfect to keep all the law of God. And the law condemns us to hell. Did you know that? If you break the law in one point, Paul says over here in Galatians, he said, you've offended every point. You break one law, you've broken all the law of God. So you cannot be saved by keeping the law. But when a man gets saved by the grace of God, he realizes that the Lord Jesus has done for him what he could never do for himself, and gave him liberty. And Paul said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why would you want to go back under the Old Testament law? You couldn't keep it. It wouldn't never bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our attitude ought to be, thank the Lord I'm free, and I don't have to go back underneath the law. Praise the Lord. But you look on down in verse number 13 what he says about this liberty. Now some people make liberty a dangerous thing, and it ought not to be. It ought to be a liberating thing. But he said in verse number 13, he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I'm free because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this morning, just because you're saved, you are not free to sin. You do not have a license because you're saved and you're not going to die and go to hell to go out here and just live any old way and do any old thing. That's what Paul was saying. He said, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use that as a license to sin and go out here and please your flesh. Then he said, but by love, serve one another. Love ought to motivate us in everything that we do. And love will cause you to keep your life in check, even though you have liberty. By love, let us serve one another. He put it like this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He said, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Don't let your liberty be an occasion to cause somebody else to fall. And if we were to study out what Paul was talking about over in 1 Corinthians, he was talking about meat that had been offered unto idols. And they would offer this meat unto idols, and then they would sell it in the marketplace. And some Christians thought, well, I don't believe there's any power in idols or false gods. And it's sort of like getting a discount down at the grocery store. They said, I'll buy that meat that's been offered unto idols. I can get it for a cheaper price, and it means nothing to me. That's what the argument was over. But some Christians didn't see it that way, those that were weak in the faith. And they thought that because that meat had been offered unto idols, that you shouldn't buy it and partake of it and eat it. That's what he was talking about if we took time to study it out. And Paul went on in that argument and he said, if meat caused my brother to fall, if that meat offends my brother, he said, I'll not eat it as long as the world stands, or though the world fall. It's that important. Don't use your liberty, something you think's all right, don't use that if it causes your brother to fall. That's what we have liberty for. Do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Do not use your liberty that you have as a Christian to do something that caused some younger or weaker Christian to fall in their faith, to stumble in their faith. That's the paradox of liberty this morning. I really wonder about people. Sometimes among those who claim to be Christians, I wonder about those that have the attitude, well, I'm saved, I can do anything I want to. I'm saved, I can drink alcohol, that doesn't matter, I'm saved, I'm not under the law. You're going to cause a weaker brother to fall. You're going to cause somebody else to get into something that they can't get out of. Oh, it's all right if I drink a little bit. Now, the Bible doesn't say nothing about that. I beg to differ. I preached on that a while back, but you know what I'm saying. People have this attitude because they're saved. They can go out here and live like the world. And what they don't realize is that the world will bring you back into bondage that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered you out of. People say, I'm saved. I can go out here and I can get tattoos all over my body. I can go out here and I can go to concerts and I can live any old way. I can just enjoy everything the world has to enjoy. You're going to cause somebody to fall. Do not use your liberty and cause somebody to stumble. Cause somebody to look at us and say, well, I thought they said they were a Christian. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they're living their life. So you got liberty. Don't go out here and get involved in something that's going to put you back under bondage. And that's just exactly what flirting and playing with the world will do to you. It will rob you of the liberty that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a paradox of liberty. Be careful how you use it. Number two, back in Psalms 119, there is the power of liberty. Boy, I like this. Hey, you know me, I just like anything to do with liberty. If I hear the word liberty, my ears perks up. I want to hear what somebody's got to say about that. I love it. There's the power of liberty. He said there in verse number 45, he said, and you don't, you normally do not start a sentence with the word and, but there is a place for it. So he's connecting what he said in verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. That sounds constrictive or restrictive to me. But then he said in verse 45, and I will walk at liberty. I'm not going to be in bondage. I am going to keep the law and I'm going to walk in liberty. Isn't that a blessing? And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There is the power of liberty. Now, liberty is the opposite of bondage. Somebody that's in prison up here or in the jail, they don't have liberty. They are in bondage. You and I this morning free to get out and come and go as we please and do as we please. We are walking today at liberty. At liberty. That's what he said. And I will walk at liberty. I was studying yesterday. I thought about old Peter over there. Acts chapter number 12. And old King Herod, he saw that he put James to death. And he saw that it pleased that bunch of heathens. And so in order to please them, you know what he did? He got Peter and put Peter in prison. Now I got to reading about Peter being in prison over there. They had him in the very innermost part of the prison. We would say he was in maximum security. And he had at least four soldiers that were watching him. Two outside at the door, and the Bible says that he was chained to one prisoner on one side, or one guard on one side, and one guard on the other side. Boy, you talk about being in bondage. They went to bed that night. The Word of God says that an angel of the Lord came and woke Peter up. The Bible says smote him on the side. Does it say the head? Smote him on the side. Woke Peter up. The angel told Peter, he said, get up. Put your sandals, bind them on your feet. Took him out of the second ward, or took him out of the prison. And took him outside the gate. The Bible said the church had been praying for him. Boy, you know what? He had been in bondage, but the Lord set him free. The Lord set him at liberty to the place that he went down where the church is having prayer meeting. Knocked on the gate. They came, finally let him in. That's what liberty will do for you. Liberty will take a person that is so in bondage it looks like it's impossible for them to get out. And liberty will set them free. That's what the power of liberty has to do. Over there in Acts chapter number 27, I was reading about the Apostle Paul. Boy, there's a lot of these preachers ended up in trouble. Did you know that? Ended up in bonds and chains and being put in prison. And the Apostle Paul was on a ship full of prisoners. That's what the Word of God says. And they came to an island called Sidon. Acts 27 verse 3 said that they came to Sidon. And Julius, he was the head prison guard. It said, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Here he was on the ship, probably had a chain around him some way. They came in to dock there and spend a night or a few days, maybe refresh supplies or something like that. And old Julius said, Paul, you got some friends you want to go visit? Just go ahead. Just go on over there. Boy, you know Paul wasn't a mountain boy. He'd have been back home, wouldn't he? He said, oh, I do have some friends I want to visit. They're about 300 miles away and I'm not stopping till I get there. But Paul didn't do that. He had some friends on the island. And the guard over him said, just go on up there and visit him. There he was, a prisoner, but he gave him liberty, and he walked at liberty. Went up there, visited his friends, refreshed himself. Liberty will set you free. That's what the power of liberty does. If you're saved by the grace of God today, you've been delivered from the bondage of Satan unto the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're the only one that can put yourself back in bondage. Not talking about losing your salvation, but you get out here and get into something you ought not to be. You lose your liberty that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 61. And it's a messianic prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts out and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach. You know that passage of Scripture? When Jesus came and He started His earthly ministry, He went to His hometown in Nazareth, and He went to the synagogue as was His custom, is what the Word of God says, and He stood up and He read out of the book of Isaiah. Guess where He read from? Isaiah chapter number 61 said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. And it goes on down and it says something about liberty in that passage of Scripture. It says over there that the Lord Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's a primary ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach and proclaim liberty to the captives. If you're here today and you're captive to something, you know what? I know who can set you free. These people captive to all kinds of things. These people that are captive to their sin. There's people that are captive to their own self-righteousness. That's how Nicodemus was. He thought he was a pretty good fella. And he came to the Lord Jesus at night, wanted to ask Him some questions. He was a teacher of the law. Boy, Nicodemus knew that Old Testament law. Do you know what Jesus said to him? He said, you know what your problem is, Nicodemus? And that's not in the Bible, but that's what He was saying to him. He said, ye must be born again. You're a good person, but you need to be saved. You need to be born again. And He said it not once, but again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was just as much a captive to his self-righteousness, to his keeping of the law, than the biggest sinner out there in the town. There's a lot of people there held captive by their religion. They're holding on to some baptism, some signing a card, some joining a church some many years ago, but they've never been saved by the grace of God. There's one can set you free from that. That's just as bad a bondage as being out here and being the biggest drunk in town. Being the biggest dope addict. These people that are captive to pornography. There's people that are captive to dope and drink and drugs and reason and self-righteousness and all these things. But praise God, these ones got the key. Set you free. That you can walk at liberty. And you don't have to be under bondage. That's the power of liberty. Well, number three, there's the precept of liberty. Now, notice what he says in verse 45. The reason why he says, I will walk at liberty. He said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. This is why he can walk at liberty. Now, I'm not being mean or sacrilegious in saying this, but this thought has just been on my mind lately. I'm going to share it with you this morning. Really, the law is for dummies. Do you know that? The law's for dummies. That is, you know, in the Bible, that means a beast, a stupid person. That's who the law's for. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You're looking puzzled at me, but just let me explain something to you this morning. I'm not being mean. I just want to show you this truth from the Word of God. Now, we're going to come back to Psalms 119. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is talking to Timothy about the law. And I want to point out to you who he says the law is for. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's read verse 8. Paul said, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. But look what he said in verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. That's somebody that's been saved by the grace of God. Because we're not righteous in and of ourselves. We're only righteous because of the Lord Jesus. The law is not for a righteous man. But, he says, for the lawless. That's somebody that don't want to obey the law. The lawless and disobedient. That's somebody that just won't listen to what they're supposed to listen to. Hey, have you ever run into anybody like that? They're told exactly what they need to do. They just won't do it. You big dummy. You're going to pay for that. You're going to suffer for that. That's who the law is for. The lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. You know, have you ever been around anybody that just lied all the time? They can't help themselves. They'd rather lie than tell the truth. You know how foolish that is. These people lies. They don't think they're going to get caught, but they get caught every time they lie. That's who the law's for. Man, they've got so used to lying, they can't tell the truth. I've known people like that. That's who the law's for. Disobedient, liars, murders, for perjured persons. That's lying in court, isn't it? That's lying under oath. I think that's what that is. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that is who the law is for. The law is for somebody. I like to think of it like this. It's like having, forgive me, you young people. I don't mean you. I mean others. It's like having a teenager in the house. That you have to tell them every little thing to do. You have to lay out the law in every little aspect of their lives. Get up. Eat. Get dressed. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Put your clothes on. Come to the car. Get out of the car. Be home no later. Do you know it's that time is the same every day? So if I told you to be home at 10 o'clock one time, you know what? Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock's the same time. Be home. I forgot. I didn't know. You got to tell them everything. Everything under the sun. If you are not, this is what's going to happen. Buddy, I'm telling you, that'll make you tired. That'll make you have gray hair. That'll make you grievous in your heart. Oh God, I'm a failure as a parent. I have to tell my children, I have to tell my young people everything to do. They have to live under the law. They have to live under the threat. Come now. Do this. Put the gray hairs on your head. But fill the cabinet up with Tums and Rolaids and all that kind of stuff. Boy, it's a grievous way to live. It's a thankless way to live. There's no end to it. You ever been around somebody like that? They have to be watched in everything they do. You can't trust them. You can't give them a job to do and expect it to be done. Everything has to be under threat. If you don't do this, you're going to get fired. If you don't listen, if you don't turn this in, whatever the case might be. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 10? It says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Do you know what a wise man? You can tell him something, and he'll listen to you. That's what that means. A wise man, you can just tell him. And then they can be trusted with liberty because they have wisdom and discretion about them. And you can tell them something, and they'll listen, and you can give them liberty. You can trust that they'll do it. That's a wise man. But you know what? A foolish man, you can tell them something. You know they're not going to do it. You can beat them with 100 stripes, and they still won't do it. They'll let you down. You can't trust them with liberty. You can't let them out of your sight. Let me give you parents a suggestion. I want my family to grow up to have wisdom. I don't want to always have to be the lawgiver in the household. You know what I mean? Let them just make their own decision every once in a while. When they come to you and want to do something, let them be the one to decide. And then tell them, you know, that's up to you. You got to learn to make your own decision. And what they do with their liberty, you'll sort of know if they're going to be wise, they're going to be foolish. How many more years you going to have to keep the screws down in the house and all like that? Let me say this morning. Here is the difference between what the psalmist is talking about. Here's why he can walk at liberty. Notice what he said in verse 45. He said, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." That's the difference right there. You study out this word precepts. Pre, we all know that means before, doesn't it? Before. Seps is a command. Here's something beautiful in the Word of God. You do not have to go through life wondering what you're supposed to do, because God has given us His precepts. He's told you before the right thing to do. And the psalmist said, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I know what the Word of God says. I can have wisdom. I can have discretion in my life because God's already said it. And if I'll just seek it out and do it, I can walk at liberty. That's why he could walk at liberty, because he sought out the precepts, the Word of God that God had already given unto him. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Let me tell you something. The grace of God calls you and I to a higher plane. We're not under the law. God has entrusted liberty unto us. Now, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to live our lives? We'd better use that liberty for the honor and the glory of God. And any decisions in our lives, if we want to walk at liberty, we need to seek the precepts of the Word of God. We've been called to a higher plane of living. Not under the law, but under liberty. And you know what? The Word of God calls us there. And the Word of God gives us what we need to be equipped to stay there. The Word of God will set you free. The precepts of the Word of God will set you at liberty. Now, last of all, and I'm almost done this morning, there is last of all the preaching of liberty. Notice what he said in verse 46. Psalms 119, verse 46. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. There's the preaching of liberty. Notice he does not say, I will be invited to speak at the White House. I think there's a lot of people, they would say something for the Lord if somebody asked them to. But he didn't say, I'll be invited to speak. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. If you're waiting around for the world to invite you to come and speak, you might wait a while. The psalmist didn't say, I'm going to wait around, I'll be invited to go and speak to the king. He said, I will speak before the king of thy testimonies, what God's done for me, and I will not be ashamed. Had breakfast at the American Legion yesterday morning. We was talking about a few things about our country, about our society. And one of the men that was sitting there, he said, we've been silent too long. Amen. We've been silent too long. God has given us liberty. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray for me that the word of the Lord might have free course. That means to run unhindered and have liberty. Speak the Word of God. What are you waiting on? Has cat got your tongue? Well, we got the greatest message in the whole wide world. We sit around like we're waiting on an invitation to speak of what God has done for us. And I'm telling you, we ought to readily tell what the Lord has done for us. We ought to all be preachers of the liberty of the grace of God. This thing's in the news again about that book over at the high school. The parent that brought it up to begin with has appealed one more time to the school board. You know what? Every saved parent ought to go over there and tell that school board, say, look, my family doesn't live like a bunch of dogs. God saved us out of that mess, and I don't want you dragging my children through the sewer under the banner of some kind of just to read a book. Why does the world think you have to wallow in the filth of the septic tank of this world in order to learn a little something? There's too many good things. Look what God has done for us. He set me free. I don't want my children reading this filth. You don't have to experience and learn and know about everything under the sun. You know what? There's some things I don't understand and I do not want to understand. People say, well, I don't understand how they can do that. I don't either and I don't want to understand. If I got to thinking and meditating on how somebody got in the mess they was in, you know what? The devil might tempt me to get in that mess. And next thing you know, I'm in a mess. Some things I don't know and I don't want to know. I want to remain as far from it. Why, preacher? Because I'm saved by the grace of God. Got delivered out of that mess. Don't have to live that way. Praise the Lord. The law, the world, been delivered from the power of both of those things. Boy, what a praise the Lord. Do you know, we sing a song, and it's the Star Spangled Banner, or My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It's My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Says, talking about the Lord, that He's the author of liberty. I love that. Who come up with liberty, preacher? God did. God put the preaching of liberty all through the Word of God. Boy, I was studying yesterday. I'm about done. I was studying yesterday And I got thinking about the children of Israel down there in Egypt. You know, they'd been down there for almost 400 years. And it got worse, and it got worse. And they were in bondage, and they were slaves. And then the government started killing them boys, them baby boys. Talk about things getting bad. You know, in America, we kill our baby boys and our baby girls. Things got real bad down in Egypt, and they wasn't getting any better. Boy, God up in heaven is taking note of all that junk that was going on down there. And there's a little boy down in the river, and God said, you know what? His name's going to be Moses. Moses means to draw out. God said, we're just going to draw Moses out of the water there. And I'm going to arrange things where Moses is going to be raised by Pharaoh. And his mama's going to get to nurse him while he's being paid for and educated by Pharaoh. Boy, you talk about God knowing how to work things out. And Pharaoh probably looked at Moses and said, you know what? He's got a lot of potential. I believe he might lead the country one day. And God looked at Moses and said, he's got a lot of potential. I believe he'll lead the nation out of Egypt one day. And guess who won? God won. And he led Egypt out of what? Out of bondage. Put the great Red Sea between them and the Egyptians and the army. And God said, and they were able to walk at liberty. Except when through sin they lost their liberty. Sin will make you lose your liberty. But all through the Bible, I love liberty. There's the preaching of liberty. There's the promotion of liberty. God's people ought to appreciate what the Lord's done for us. I love John chapter 8 and verse 32. The Bible says over there, and ye shall know the truth. You know what it'll do for you? It'll set you free. Ye shall know the truth, and it'll set you free. That means to be at liberty. And John 8, 36, Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Nobody else can put you back under the bondage of the law, the world. If the Lord Jesus Christ set you free, you are free indeed. Praise the Lord, what a blessing that is. The psalmist, even in the Old Testament dispensation, because of his knowledge of the precepts of the Word of God, he said, even though I'm surrounded by the law, that doesn't bother me. I'll walk at liberty. I'll walk at liberty. What a blessing. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.